From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As part of these studies in the book of Judges, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled, A Portrait of Jephthah, Warts and All. Jephthah was the illegitimate son of a prominent Israelite, but he was cast out by his father's legitimate sons. However, when the nation fell into bondage to the Ammonites, the Jewish leaders recognized Jephthah as a mighty man with military skills. So, swallowing their pride, they asked him to become their captain in the battle against the forces of Ammon. As Dr. Cairns is showing from the scriptural record, Jephthah was a godly man. He was one of the few judges of whom it is recorded that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Although he had been victimized by the sin of his father and suffered for it, Jephthah showed himself to be a man of valor. Yet Jephthah's zeal for God took an unwise turn when he made a rash vow that brought much sadness to himself and to his only daughter. It's a poignant lesson about not being rash with our mouths. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of the great 19th century preacher C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Nothing Old. The text is Revelation chapter 21 and verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Glory be to his name. All things need making new, for they are sadly battered and worn by sin. It is time that the old vesture was rolled up and laid aside, and that creation put on her Sunday suit. But no one else can make all things new, except the Lord who made them at the first. For it needs as much power to make out of evil as to make out of nothing. Our Lord Jesus has undertaken the task, and he is fully competent for the performance of it. Already he has commenced his labor, and for centuries he has persevered in making new the hearts of men and the order of society. By and by he will make new the whole constitution of human government, and human nature shall be changed by his grace. And there shall come a day when the body shall be made new, and raised like unto his glorious body. What a joy to belong to a kingdom in which everything is being made new by the power of its king! We are not dying out. We are hastening on to a more glorious life. Despite the opposition of the powers of evil, our glorious Lord Jesus is accomplishing his purpose and making us and all things about us new and as full of beauty as when they first came from the hand of the Lord.
Baby born of Mary, oh, 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 oh. now happily we sing, and the joy we angels sing. Ding dong, sound the steeple bell, for joyous bells they are ringing.
On the night before the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he instituted an ordinance by which his people were to remember him until his second coming. Known as the Lord's Supper or Communion, this simple yet profound ceremony pictures Christ's broken body and shed blood through the common elements of bread and wine. Through the centuries, this observance has been a precious and solemn time for the Lord's people. Yet it has also been a subject of much abuse by those who come to this table of the Lord. At the extreme, a person's attitude toward it was a matter of life and death. During the time of the Reformation, many people were burned at the stake for refusing to accept the insistence of the Roman Catholic Church that the elements of communion literally became Christ's flesh and blood. Some groups see the elements as mere symbols, while others find in the Lord's table a much deeper significance. Dr. Alan Cairns recently wrote a short book in which he deals with the Lord's Supper from the scriptural teaching on the subject. Simply titled, The Lord's Supper, the book is subtitled, An Earthly Encounter with the Heavenly Christ. Its aim is to stir the hearts of believers to enter into the joyful fellowship our Savior holds out to us as we eat this bread and drink this cup in remembrance of him. Let the Bible Speak has obtained a limited number of copies of this publication, which are available to our listeners. The price for each copy of the Lord's Supper is $8, which includes shipping and handling. You may have a copy by sending your check for $8 made out to Let the Bible Speak. Send it to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Be sure to request your copy of the Lord's Supper today.
This is a land where increasing numbers of the population are veritable heathens who are untouched with the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a land where religion has joined hands with humanism, and you are producing the great apostasy. And to make matters worse, you have twittering evangelicals glorying in a false revival. But I take great encouragement that out of those jungles of America's cities, God can raise up Jephthahs. I asked you some time ago to be praying for a young black man from Washington, the city of Washington, D.C. In this church, I asked you to pray that God would begin to move across the cities of America and raise up young black men to go out and preach the gospel to their people. And not 1 month later, this young man comes along to say, "This is my burden." He's now in training for the work of God. I ask you to pray for him. That's an encouragement. Whether he is God's man for that city or whether he's not, it's beside the point. Our prayer has got to be, "Lord, in this day of sin, shame, and apostasy, start raising up Jephthahs. Lord, go into the places of the seediest and the most sinful and put your hand by grace on young men. Transform them by power into servants of the King of Kings, and give them guts and backbone to stand up for Christ. Give them valor." Oh, our God is able. It's not just in the black communities either it needs to be done. The drug problem in America, in many ways, is as much a white problem, in many ways more a white problem than any other. There are things that don't hit the headlines as much, but nonetheless they're there. That you have young people getting into deep sin and crime, middle class, indeed sometimes even rich. And unless God starts raising up Jephthahs in every quarter of this society, this nation is in trouble. Men of valor. But of course, the old saying is charity begins at home. And so does every other Christian virtue. It's not enough for you to be praying God raise up people who will be valorous. The need is for you to be a mighty man of valor. Listen to what Paul wrote to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Verse 3, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Now this is not just for somebody else, this is for you and me. The day is a day that calls for Christians to sell out to God. It's calling for Christians to stop pussyfooting around with religiosity and lay hold of God for real revival. And there's a world of difference. This is a day when God's people are asked to be soldiers of Christ who will really not get entangled with the things of this world, who will use the things of this world but not abuse them, who will take all that God gives them in this world and channel it all to the service of Christ. Do you realize that fundamentalism, reformed Christianity, the kind of people that we want to say are our kind of people, have a declining influence on the mission fields of the world? Now, there are great fundamentalist missionaries, there are great reformed missionaries. I am not denying that for a moment, but I am saying that our input is declining and has been declining? Do you realize that there are far more young women who apply for foreign service than young men? That real church planting, not talking about glamorous programs with guaranteed salaries, I'm talking about people who have a burden, who have got their heart on fire, who are ready to do a work for God, whatever it costs, and who are willing to go as long as it takes. That real church planting is declining. Oh, there are many new churches, for there are so many splits. It's not the way to build a church, obviously. There's a time when you've got to separate, but just splits for the sake of splits is not the way to build a church. There's a decline in young men who are real soldiers. Oh, there are a lot of Christians, and they say, well, I'm still a Christian, and I can serve the Lord in business. Sure, you can serve the Lord in business. If the Lord's making you a businessman, I wouldn't want you to be a preacher. You'd be the greatest liability, just as I would be in business. You've got to be where the Lord places you. But there are so many young men, and I'm especially dealing with the young men. Not that it's not applicable to the young ladies. But you young fellas, there are so many. And yes, I'm a Christian, but it's in the background of my life. I'm mapping out my career. I'm mapping out my future. I'm looking at all my options. And yes, I'm not going to give up faith in Christ. But there's no getting down in the secret place to cry, my God, give me a burden for the work of God. Give me courage to do the work of God and make me willing, whatever the cost may be. Jephthah has a lot to teach us. A man of valor. A man who fought. Was willing to lead in the fight when others weren't. You may say, preacher, I don't have the ability. I don't have the brains. I don't have this. I don't have that. I don't have the other thing. Man, all you need is the call of God. And you can do anything that God calls you to do. Anything. I challenge every young man in this meeting tonight, and every young woman, but you young fellows particularly, I challenge you to get before your God. The God who saved you, the Christ who died for you, who shed his blood for you, who has kept you out of hell, who has given you his Spirit, who has put you in his church. I challenge you to get before your God and say, Lord, there is my life. Do with it as you will. Put me on any battlefront you demand, and by the grace of God and with all the panoply of Christian armor that I read of in Ephesians chapter 6, I will take the field. Let me live or die, but let me live or die for Jesus Christ. Let me be rich or poor, but I'll be rich or poor for Jesus Christ. I challenge you to do that. I remember as a teenager, late teen, being brought to that place before God. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I can honestly say I never had an ambition to be a preacher. There's nothing scared me more. I grew up listening to the man I thought was the greatest preacher in Ireland. I realized I could never preach as he preaches. I'll never have the ability he has. I had a fear of preaching. But I was brought to the place, Lord, what will you have me to do? In those days, to be a Free Presbyterian student minister was to be a fool. The managing director of the firm that I worked for actually swore at me. Not in viciousness, but just his natural expression. So he just swore at me, thinking I was an absolute idiot to go in with those fellas. There was no money.
Free Church was so poor that we used to have whip-arounds in presbytery meetings to keep our White Abbey church open. This is a whip-around for many people who had hardly the money. If they'd had to go home on the bus, they wouldn't have had money for bus fares. And there were no prospects. Prospects for me when I applied to the minister for the ministry of the Free Church was to be told, there's a vacant lot, we're going to try and get a church up there, a building of some kind up there, there's not a soul in the neighborhood interested. You're going to have to go in and foot slog and work and see if we can get a church going. The Lord ultimately directed to another place just about as hard. But those were the prospects. Though it didn't work out this way, obviously, there was a conscious decision at 20 years of age in applying to the Free Church that there is a very strong possibility that you will be unmarried for life. Not because the Free Church believes in a celibate clergy. That's popery. But because you have nothing, your church has nothing, and there are prospects for nothing but blood, sweat, toil, and tears with every man's hand against you. I don't say that to blow up the early ministers of the Free Church, God forbid. I say it rather to tell you I know what I'm talking about when I challenge you to get on your face before God and cry, Lord, what will you have me to do? And whatever the will of God is, no matter what it costs me, no matter where it leads me, by the grace of God, I'll do it. His valor. A quick word about his virtue. Jephthah was a man who walked and worked and warred always in the presence of God. If you read chapter 11 very carefully, you'll find that he uttered all his words before the Lord. Verse 11. That's how he lived, in the presence of God. The key to Christian living is to live in the presence of the Lord. The key to living in the presence of the Lord is seen in Jephthah's life, in that he was a man who knew the Word of God. Read the early part of his leadership when he's writing to the king of Ammon from verse 12 of chapter 11, you'll find he was a man who knew the word of God, and not only knew it, but he applied it to his life and situation. That spilled over into many other areas of his life. For instance, when his community called him back to leadership, there was a family that had persecuted him. Brothers who had driven him from the family home, who had robbed him of everything that he could ever have held dear, who had made him an outlaw. Yet when he came back in, he freely forgave them, and he did not visit vengeance upon them. That's virtue. In chapter 11, verse 29, we find he was a spirit-filled man. A spirit-filled man. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. As I pointed out last week, only four men in the book of Judges of whom that is true. Jephthah was one of them. Othniel, Gideon, Jephthah, and Samson. He was a spirit-filled man. I don't want to alarm you and sound charismatic, but I get sick when we Bible believers drop the fullness of the Holy Ghost from our theology because of the charismatics. We don't apply it to any other part of our lives because the mafia have counterfeit money. You don't give up all your dollar bills. Because the mafia have counterfeit bonds, business doesn't throw out all its good bonds. Banks don't jettison their bonds. No, no, we don't operate like that in business. Don't operate like that in everyday life, but it works in spiritual things. Oh, the charismatics talk about the fullness of the Holy Ghost, and therefore we give it up. Charismatics have railroaded this. They have taken it over, and it doesn't belong to them. Theirs is a false fire. But my friend, let me tell you, until you and I get filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to do nothing for God. There's not a thing in your flesh that will enable you to do a work for God. There's no power in you, no strength in you, no ability in you. You may have the gift of speech. It's not going to help you to be a great preacher. You may have great education. One of the worst characters I ever knew in the pulpit was one of the most highly educated. He did nothing for God. It wasn't that his education was a hindrance. The trouble was that's all he had. He didn't have anything of the life and power of the Spirit. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.